Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is 4:08 on a Thursday. Glad to have you with us here on Drive Time with DeRussia. It just sort of feels different. You can tell we're in the summer because Thursday feels like Friday, which means tomorrow's show is going to be an absolute train wreck. So make sure you're listening to that. Every Thursday, we bring in restaurant people, farmers, chefs, owners, all sorts of different interesting people in a segment we call DeRussia Eats. Liquor Boy brings us DeRussia Eats on this Thursday. Liquor Boy in St. Louis Park. Our guest today, what a success story. And he's pumping his arms. Randy Stanley is with us from Six Smith in Wayzata, Baldemar in Roseville. Randy, it's so good to have you here in studio.
Pleasure to be here, Jason.
Let's get you real close to that microphone.
Good.
Randy's very tall, so we have to raise that mic way
up here for sure.
Yeah. Randy, what a run it's been since you opened Six Smith. Of course, your career goes way before that.
I hate to say it, but 45 years.
45 years in restaurant.
Yeah, I was a late bloomer.
What was your first job?
First job was a host at Pronto Ristorante back in the early days.
What was it about hosting that really kind of got your juices going?
The connection with people, I think the energy and the making people's day or dining experience and mixing with all the fun servers and employees. And it was a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Fun lifestyle. Very fun.
I think there was certainly a heyday, right, where that front of house action and magic was. I mean, we don't have that today, do we?
Maybe for a good reason, Jason, because there was a lot of drinking going on back in those days.
Some of the magic may have been fueled by
pretty sure
today's HR standards.
Anyone I used to work for, we never drank at work.
No. So you worked at Pronto, and then you had a very long career with Parasole. Right?
Yes, very, very long career. Worked at pretty much all their restaurants, opened several, got to shave on their face. They were, I think, Pete and Phil, I owe everything I have to. They were, at the time, I think, two of the most prolific restaurateurs in the Midwest. Hmm. And they taught me everything I know. I owe them a lot.
What do you think was the key to the Parasole? And for people who don't know, Parasole, it's Manny's, it's Salute, it was Chino Latino.
Yep, Good Earth.
Good Earth.
Burger Jones in the day.
Ocean Air.
Yeah,
they started
Buca. Yeah.
Buca.
Yeah, I mean, they were some rare
birds. Does Phil get enough credit today, do you think, for what he did?
I don't think so. Yeah. They've had a good run. Yeah. Both he and Pete had a great life. They're still impactful in the industry. They are winding down, I think. But, I mean, they've changed the dining scene in the Twin Cities, no question.
You decided to open Six Smith right on Lake Minnetonka in Wayzata. What year was that?
That was 2014, June 21.
And at the time, did people think it was going to work? Did people think you were crazy?
No question. Every day I'd go to work, it was almost it was mortifying. Like 50 people a night would say, "You'll never make it. Nothing's made it here." I was just demoralizing. But
it's in a spot at sort of the end of the main drag there,
other side of town, other side of the tracks,
which is hilarious because it's really like three blocks.
You know, there's those geographic barriers. You know, once you get past Ben and Jerry's, Wayzata's over.
It's over. But once the road starts to turn a little bit.
Yeah, you might have to wait for a train.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But, in fact, was it a slow start?
It was a very slow start.
I remember you were nervous at the beginning because
I think scared you-know-what-less.
It's big. The space is big. How many seats in that?
Almost 580. In the summer. So we seat about 220 inside and then the rest outside in the summer. So it's built to expand and contract seasonally.
It also had a design element that felt way more urban than anything, I think at that time, than anything the suburbs have really seen.
You nailed it. The idea was, you know, I think a lot of people would look at a lakeside restaurant and do a lakeside restaurant, and we took the approach
to do that kind of Nantucket. Like,
yeah,
Cove
exactly.
does so
Cove,
well. It's
awesome.
It's perfect.
Yeah, but we looked at it, hey, we're a restaurant with a lake attached instead of a lake with a restaurant attached.
Hmm.
So it was a change of mindset.
I feel like that was if there are a lot of complaints from, like, the old school Wayzata people Ooh. About what that restaurant looked yeah. like. But I was always very drawn to it because I love those kind of
You were an early adapter.
Yeah.
You and Steph used to come in all with some frequency.
Right.
And,
right. Yeah. It took a while, but once people discovered, what do you think took a restaurant like that? Because part of why I wanted to have you in is I think what you've done in Wayzata that people thought was crazy. Then you went to the north suburbs, to Roseville.
Yes.
Which in the outlot of a shopping mall, which I think people thought was even crazier than the Wayzata.
No question. Everyone I know, every iconic restaurateur in the Twin Cities said we're absolutely nuts. But we tend to – we do some demographic work, and we tend to look for underserved markets. And then, like, I through my career, one of the things I learned was looking at a location and trying to figure out what would work there the best. Sixsmith was probably the most – creative concept I've ever. It's a very highly concepted non-concept, and like and you nailed it.
Yeah.
It's very urban in the suburbs, and that was very uncommon in those in 10 years ago. We had the only mixologist-driven cocktail bar in that
yeah.
out in the suburbs. Everything else was downtown. So we were very idealistic. We had all high-end, not name brands, but boutique-y, small production things. And everyone came in and, where's this, where's that? And 2 days later, we had it all.
Right. This is common, right, where you really have a vision. You're
yeah.
like, I really want to make this
yeah.
one of the best cocktail bars in town.
Yeah.
So we're not going to have
yeah.
X, Y, Z.
Well, we do.
You do.
Well, yeah, because I want to be open for X, Y, Z.
Is that, I mean, you come at this from the perspective, and our guest today is Randy Stanley, who owns Baldemar and Sixsmith. Did the time at Manny's and at Parasoli help, I mean, bring you from a perspective as a businessman, maybe more? Not that the culinary isn't important, but sometimes the chefs and the mixologists get a little kind of caught up in the non-business side of it.
Idealistic.
Yeah.
Absolutely no question, Jason. Pete and Phil both gave me way too much autonomy. The only thing they asked for was plausible deniability.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, and I mean, like I said, I got the shave on their face. I did a lot of they did some consulting work. I opened in collaboration with them almost every concept they ever did. I was always involved in those that phase. I ran most of them at any given time. A lot of times I was the fixer, if you will. What do they call it? The guy, the wolf.
Yeah.
And it taught me a lot. And I was always the person who would work Sunday brunch, close, open, did it all. You know, there's a lot of naturals out there, and they're fortunate if they can make it so quickly. I see a lot of younger people breaking through really quick.
Yeah,
I had to do the 10,000-hour thing.
Yeah. That theory that yes. after 10,000 hours of practice,
yeah.
you get there.
I finally figured it out at 58.
Yeah. Randy Stanley with us. Baldemar in Roseville, Sixsmith in Wayzata. When you open Baldemar, was that a quicker hit than Sixsmith was?
Well, with the exception of COVID, we had the fortunate experience of opening 4 months before COVID. So, you know, we thought we were going to be toast. You know, we put the name of the company's All In Inc. And guess what that means?
Yeah.
We had
right.
everything on the line, houses, Sixsmith, the whole shebang, all in. And then COVID came. We thought we were done. And we got through it all. The government did things right. We did things right. We kept as many employees and managers as we could.
Do you think you would have made it without the PPP?
No way. No.
And did you get restaurant revitalization money?
I did.
Too?
I'm a veteran, so I did.
So that helped.
Only at Six Smith, I didn't qualify at Baltimore, but yeah. And it was good. I was very, very fortunate.
But without that, I think I will say at the beginning of COVID, I thought at least a third of our restaurants would go under.
We did too.
And the number of restaurants that went under was almost negligible compared to any normal year. And I think it's all because of that federal money.
No question. I mean, we got whole pretty quickly. The big change was when we were allowed to open halfway. Mm. At 50%, we knew we could break even and do what we do best, shake hands and kiss butts and being customer facing. And once we were able to do that, we knew that we were going to make it.
Randy Stanley is our guest. Sometimes big bets and big risks pay off, and opening two restaurants in areas that people thought were no way it was going to work, it's been working. We'll talk about big risks when it comes to some kind of big high-profile menu items or promotions that they do at both of these restaurants. Plus, I'll get Randy's top three places that are not his own to eat out at. So we'll do that. When DeRussia Eats continues. DeRussia Eats brought to you by Liquor Boy right here on CCO. 423, DeRussia Eats brought to you by Liquor Boy. We're talking with Randy Stanley, Six Smith in Wayzata, Baltimore in Roseville. Fat Pants Friday.
Ooh.
Was this your idea or someone on your team, or where did this come from?
Well, it was a collaborative effort with my partner and son-in-law, Angel Luna. We were being taken too seriously in the beginning. We thought it was kind of chefy, and we thought,
it's Angel's fault. He's a good chef.
Well, there you go. We'll take don't tell him that.
Right.
Anyway, we were thinking about what we could do, and there was several beers and some wings, and then we came up with this Fat Pants Friday idea and the rules around it, where you have to eat it all there. You can't take anything home, can't share, and there are loose rules. Yeah. And then there's always asparagus spear for mom.
Because you need a little.
You got to have your veggies.
Have your veggies.
Yeah, got it.
It's so Instagrammable, so ridiculous, so gluttonous. But it also, I think, was brilliant in keeping Six Smith on everyone's mind, where you're like, oh, what's going on this week?
We never thought in a million years it was going to be as powerful and prolific as it is. And to this day, 10 years later, it's just probably the, like you said, most brilliant thing we've ever done.
Baltimore, you just launched this crazy brunch.
Champagner.
So tell me about the Champagner.
The Champagner is a excess and opulence brunch where you go in and you can eat as much as you want, drink as much as you want. It's about $100 a person plus tip and tax. But there are, 20 some different items, breakfast cocktails, champagne. It's a great opportunity to celebrate life's passages, any events, just it's Saturday. And we do two seatings a day. It took off like a rocket ship.
Which, when people hear the price, $90, you're like, holy moly.
Yeah, it's a holy moly.
But
we deliver,
Yeah. Is there a lesson there about pricing and what our community is willing to pay if they feel like they're getting their money's worth?
It's all about value, and it has to come in the form of food, service, and atmosphere. If you can hit all three, I think it's priceless.
If you had to put those in order, food, service, atmosphere.
Ooh, depends on what's happening. I think right when you walk in the door, it's about atmosphere, but the service starts 5 seconds after that when the host greets you, and then the food comes out 10, 15 minutes later. I think they have to be in sync.
I would disagree. I think food is...
Are we going to argue?
Maybe. I think food is at the bottom of those three for most diners. I think for most diners, it's... Well, I actually would say today, 2023, I would put atmosphere... The kids call it vibes.
True.
I would put that first. I would put service second, close. Yeah. And I would put third, food, and almost a distant third.
Hmm. People take food for granted sometimes. We try to elevate
it's
ours.
Sort of the price of admission. Yeah. You have to have decent food.
But if without the handshaking and butt kissing, you got a point.
I just think I think that, and certainly as a member of the food media, like mm-hmm. we can obsess about the technique and mm-hmm. the ingredients and this and that. And I'll tell you, 90% of the feedback that I get from people about restaurants has to do with the way they were taken
care of. Do you feel special at the end?
Yeah.
Was it worth it? Yeah. Will you go back?
Are there other areas in the Twin Cities that you think would support a, you know, I would loosely describe your restaurants as high-end steakhouses.
Meaty.
They're meaty.
Sixsmith is meaty. Baltimore's true
steakhouse.
Dead on, yeah.
Are there other areas that you think might be underserved?
We'd love to move. Or not move, but expand. Yeah, we've got our eye on a couple of locations right now. We like Edina. We like Maple Grove. I think Egan's an opportunity. So we look for underserved markets, and then
people are thinking underserved. How are these? How is Edina? But I think you're
that
right.
That concept, yeah. Like we try to kind of come in, at a certain price point, so we're not duking it out with the eating component of a neighborhood. And then we also look very hard for a special landlord. We need a benevolent landlord that is willing to maybe make a legacy play and or that understands the intrinsic value that and halo effect that a high-end, well-run restaurant that's independent and local can contribute to a community.
Pittsburgh Blue in Maple Grove is what convinced me that your concepts were both going to work.
Oh.
Because I thought Pittsburgh Blue was the dumbest thing that I'd ever heard of. You're like, who in Maple Grove is going to spend $45 on a steak when it opened mm-hmm. on a Tuesday? And the answer is
everybody.
Everybody. A totally full dining room all the time. And you have sort of a similar scenario.
Very similar. Yeah. Yeah. I have to call the GM out at Pittsburgh Blue, and I used to work with those guys. I can't even get in.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's busy.
Same at Baltimore. I have to call the GM. I can't get in.
And you do lunch also.
We do.
Do you do it in both?
Both.
Yeah,
Sixth
you're at both
and
spots.
Baltimore. Very good brunches. And I think
which you don't have at as many places post-COVID.
No, which is helping us, actually. As soon as we could go customer-facing, we did everything right away, as fast as we could. Lunch, brunch, dinner, everything.
Top three places you like to visit that aren't your own.
Okay. Number one, Manny's. Got to put it out there. Opened it.
It's still pretty
great.
Worked
there for 30 years.
Yeah. I know.
Had to do it. Then I would say Sanju-san.
Oh.
What the heck? Who's got the guts to do Japanese-Italian fusion? Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It's so good.
It's so good, and it works.
Yep.
And number three, I would say Jester Concepts PS Steak.
Mm.
For a couple reasons. One, yeah. I think they opened up, and they were doing the more gamey thing, and I thought, oh, gosh.
Yep.
And then they figured it out quick and found ways to continue to be chefy, but at the same time very steaky. They introduced that Denver steak. Unbelievable.
It's really good,
isn't it? They really nailed
it. It's a nice restaurant.
Yep. Yeah. Cozy.
In a place that had struggled post La Belle Vie.
True.
What was it going to be?
Oh, man. It's forever. It's kind of like Sixsmith. You know, nothing ever made it. And now I think these guys cracked the code.
So fun to have you here.
It's a pleasure.
I really respect what you've done and admire kind of the way you run your restaurants. So congratulations.
And if I can just blow a little smoke your way, the contributions that you've made to the restaurant
you
community.
Can give
it's been phenomenal. I mean, you've supported restaurants during COVID, today. Your impact on our community has been prolific.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice.
All right, that's Randy Stanley. Go check it out. Oh, people are all texting in where they want you to come. They want you everywhere. Very good. Send real estate ideas to Randy Stanley. Very good. 4:31, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Joe Tamburino, some major developments from the Supreme Court today. A criminal case here that we've been following all day on CCO that we'll talk about. Lots to get into in the legal world as a court will be in session with Joe Tamburino next here on CCO.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.